There is a lot of sickness this morning, and need to keep those people in our prayers. Tony and Laura are both sick this morning, and so we're going to do our best this morning to kind of try to fill in and maybe give you a few things to think about through the coming year. First of all, I'd like to wish you all Happy New Year. God's been good to us throughout this last year, and we just pray that we'll have a great year here at Ferris, the year 2013. Before we get started this morning, let's pray. God, we just thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to be here this morning. God, we just pray that your blessing would be upon this time as we spend it together in your word. God, it's kind of humbling to be in this position, but God, we know that we can't do things on our own, that we have to depend on you, and God, we are depending on you this morning. You know, the situation with Tony and Laura, God, we pray that your healing hand would be upon them and others amongst our numbers, Father. And God, we just ask that your blessing would be upon your servant this morning as we open your word, as we study from it. God, as we look at a few things, God, we just pray that you would bless it. Father, that good would come out of it this morning. And Father, what good comes out of it, we just want to give you all the praise for it. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, a New Year's resolution. I would guess that probably some of us have made some New Year's resolutions at one time or another. I know that some may think that they're kind of crazy. It's just another day of the year, another day of life. And I can make New Year's resolutions every day of the year if I wanted to. And we can do that. We can make decisions in our life to change things any day of the week. But it just seems like that New Year's is a kind of a new start for everybody, and a lot of people like to make New Year's resolutions to maybe help them in some way. I'd like to begin this morning by reading Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 5. And we'll read through verse 20 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 20. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a... God loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Verse 7, therefore do not be partners with him, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart in the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was, as we said, as we began about New Year's resolutions, there was one guy that wrote this for a New Year's resolution. It said, here's what one guy wrote about a resolution he made. I will get my weight down below 180 pounds. Probably one of the most popular resolutions that you see on TV or whatever is considered with weight or with exercise or health in some way. That was in 1999 when he said this. In the year 2000, he resolves, I will watch my calories until I get below 190. In 2001, I will follow my new diet religiously until I get below 200. I don't know if you're following this or not. In 2002, I will try to develop a realistic attitude about my weight. In 2003, I will work out 5 days a week. In 2004, he says, I will work out 3 days a week. And then in 2005, he says, I will try to drive past the gym at least once a week. A lot of times our resolutions don't always turn out the way that we had them planned. But along with that, maybe we've made resolutions about our weight or whatever it might be. We want to be spend more time with our family. But what about, shouldn't we be thinking about some resolutions and guarding God in our growth in faith? In 2 Peter 3:18 it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Are you growing in his grace and knowledge? If you're not, maybe the year 2013 might be the year to start doing that. Have you made any plans to grow? Someone said, the plan will work if we work the plan. So to grow spiritually, to grow in our faith, we have to have a plan. And what could include that plan? What do you suppose we could do to include in our plan so that we would grow spiritually? There's some things in place that may help us. If you're not involved in a small group, maybe you'd want to get involved in a small group. Or other things in our lives. As we go through here, we'll list some things. Jonathan Edwards, back in the early 1700s, was the preacher who preached the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He was interrupted many times in that sermon as he preached by people saying, what shall I do to be saved? Edwards took his faith very seriously, and to preach a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, would probably take a lot of courage. We don't hear too many sermons today with those types of titles to them, but this guy took his faith very seriously. He also said, being sensible that I am unable to do anything about God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. So in other words, he's saying, with God's help, I will keep my word. And this is what he resolves to do. I will do whatsoever I can to the glory of God. He wanted to live for God's glory, not his own. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. He resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I were in my last hours of life. You know, you ever think about the last hours of your life? And I've thought about this a few times. I thought, you know, if I get sick and I've still got my, maybe I've got a year to live or whatever it might be, I've always thought, boy, I'd really like to get the message across to somebody about Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell them about my Savior, about the love that He has for them. I've always thought, boy, if I just had, you know, 1 year to just focus on that and get the message out to all those people. Why do we want to wait till the last of our life? Why can't we do that today? We can. You know, we just got to make up our mind. Why are we afraid to do it today when we got all that courage at the end of our life to do those types of things? I resolve never to do anything out of revenge. Someone wrote, and we've heard this lots of times, I don't get mad, I just get even. But what about this one? This one might be a little bit better. Don't get even, get ahead. Be the better person. Let God handle the situation and take revenge if He desires. Another one, I resolve to study the Scriptures. You know, this message is not necessarily just for you people. When I read this through and looked at it and made some notes and things, I thought, you know, this is for me as well as it is anyone else. So I'm not talking to you guys necessarily as much as I am talking to myself. But study the Scriptures steadily, constantly, and frequently. That's found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Here's another one. Have you ever prayed and said, I'm not sure that this prayer that I'm going to pray is something that God's really going to hear and understand necessarily. I don't really know if He's going to answer this prayer or not, because I'm not sure that God can do this. This guy resolves to believe that God will answer his prayers. You know, we go before God in prayer, and we need to go with confidence and assurance, knowing that God hears our prayers and answers them. So we need to resolve that God will hear our prayers. Pray with confidence that God will understand what we're praying about and that He will hear them and answer them. And as we resolve to do these things, like I said earlier, we can start this today, or we can resolve the first of the year. We're 6 days into the new year now, but it's not too late to make a New Year's resolution if you so desire. But if we do that, we do it one day at a time. We do it every day. Be proactive, saying, well, I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to open God's Word. I'm going to study from God's Word for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. I'm going to go before God in prayer today. And then you get up tomorrow morning and you do it again. Today, I'm going to go to God in prayer for a period of time. I'm going to open His Word and study from it. Every day, we need to start that over every day. And as we do that, it becomes a habit. I'm not just sure how many days it is that you have to do something to make it a habit, 20 days or 21 days or something like that. So I challenge you this morning to make that a priority in your life, to get up each morning and go to God in prayer. Pray for your preacher, pray for the elders, pray for your neighbors, your friends, your family. If you run out of things to pray for, call me. I can probably find something for you to pray about. So Paul writes in these words that we just read a few minutes ago, some sound spiritual resolutions for the next year. Be more godlike, shun the evil of this world, and use your time wisely. Be imitators of God, he says in that first verse. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, verse 2, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. A mother said while her young son was looking at the full moon, he asked, Mom, is God in the moon? And the mother explained that God is everywhere. The son says, is he in my tummy? And the mom says, well, sort of, she responded, not sure where the question was leading. And then Doug, the son, declared, God wants a banana. Well, God is living within us, and he lives through us and through his Holy Spirit. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you and will to act according to his good purpose. God is in us and is at work in us through his Holy Spirit. This should mean that we are different. It also means that we are honest. We must admit that we don't always do the right thing, but we don't always do the biblical thing, even though we might know what God's Word says. But we need to strive to do better, to be more like Christ, to be more godlike. This, maybe when we were younger kids and maybe some of you used to really like to watch Superman on TV. Maybe you thought, well, I'd like to be great like Superman. I'd like to be able to fly by spreading my arms and have an X-ray vision, be a man of steel and strong and fight the evil of this world. But deep in our hearts, we knew that that was impossible. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put a child's things behind me. I've gotten over most of my childish ways. I don't want to be like Superman anymore, but it sure would be great to be more like God. And if God is love, and he is, then we should desire to be more like him. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom as the children were drawing a picture. And she would occasionally walk around the room to see what the children were doing. They were doing artwork this particular day. And as she got to one little girl who was working diligently, she asked, what the drawing was. And the girl replied, well, I'm drawing God. The teacher paused and said, no one knows what God looks like. And without missing a beat or looking up from her drawing, the little girl replied, they will in a minute. Whether we like it or not, we're drawing a picture of God in our lives every day as imitators of God. As we are in the workplace, as we are getting groceries or driving down the road, when that person cuts you off, we are imitators of God. And that's what people are looking at. Are we drawing a picture of God with our lives, and the world is watching to see what God looks like? We need to be imitators of God. Acts 4:13, it says, when we saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So when we're in the workplace or when we're in the world, do we remind people of Jesus? Is the love of God evident in our lives? Does His love pour forth from your life to others in various ways? So we need to resolve to become more like God, who is love. I work with a guy that don't have any church background that I know of, but he sees people that he works with that are churchgoers, profess to be Christians. There's a number of us in that department, probably out of 15, there's 10 or 12 of us probably that go to church. And this guy that really has no background as a churchgoer or as Christianity, he said, well, he'll look at people and he'll say, are you kidding me? This person really goes to church and he still treats people the way that he does? And that's pretty sad when you think about it. And I talked to one of the other guys that him and I have a lot of things in common and we talk a lot. And I said, you know, I just can't believe these people have done what they've done and profess to be Christians. And maybe I'm being judgmental, but they have influence on people around them that are non-Christians. Man, as Christians, we need to be careful how we act. We need to imitate God. We need to be more like God. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is shun the evil of this world. In verse 3 it says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by light becomes visible. Everything exposed by light becomes visible. The things we do around us are visible. The evil that men do is very evident in this world. Sexual immorality, all kinds of impurity, greed, obscenity, idolatry, all those things. You name it, and people do it. Always has been, and probably always will be. Genesis 6:5 says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And God was grieved that he'd made man so then came the flood. Now if God saw that man's thoughts were only evil all the time back then, I wonder what he's thinking today, as so much evil is in this world. Genesis 18:20-21 says, Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Sin so great and grievous. Someone said a long time ago that if God doesn't do something, the wickedness in our world today then he should apologize to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I don't think God has the apology to anyone for his actions, but he will eventually do something about the evil in our world. He restrains evil somewhat now, but will eventually call a halt to it. Just on December 14th, when we heard about all the shootings in Sandy Hook Elementary School, evil things like this and a whole lot more take place in our world in America every day. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light." We must shun the evil of our world. We must avoid it and not participate in it. In fact, we must combat evil, and we do this by living as children of light. That is, by letting our light shine in the Lord. We fill our lives with good so that we won't have room for evil. The third point this morning is use your time wisely. Probably a difficult thing for me sometimes to use my time wisely. It seems like we get busy and we want to do our own thing. And I don't have time to do these other things. All I want to do is what Gerald wants to do. Gerald's most important, and he's going to do the things that he wants to do. He's going to take the time to do the things that Gerald wants to do. But we need to use our time wisely. Verse 15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." There was a guy that had reached the age of 105 and suddenly stopped going to church, worried about his absence after so many years of faithful attendance. The preacher went to see him. He found him in excellent health. So the preacher asked, "How come after all these years we don't see you in church anymore?" And the guy answered, and he said, "Look," he looked around and lowered his voice. He said, "I'll tell you what," in a whisper. He said, "When I got to be 90, I expected God to take me any day. But then I got to be 95, and then 100, and then 105. So I figured that God was pretty busy, and he must have forgotten about me, and I wasn't about to remind him." But no matter how old we are, God never forgets about us. God knows. The important thing is for you to use what time you have each day wisely, because you might not have tomorrow. And God is not too busy to remember all of us. He keeps watch over everyone. Everyone is important and everyone counts. Someone once said, "You cannot kill time without injuring eternity." And many people are killing time and injuring their chances of eternity. Use your time wisely. Ben Franklin said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." What happened to time? When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I grew older, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. We need to use our time wisely. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Make the most of every opportunity to do good and to serve the Lord. Are you doing any good to others in this world? Are you doing any good things for others outside of your family? Are you serving the Lord? And how much time do you spend on your faith? Matthew 12:35-37 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But if I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." God's going to hold us accountable for the words that we speak, the time that we spend in His Word, how well we use our time, how wise we use our time. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." So as we come to a close this morning, I just want to challenge you this morning to, there's lots of things that we can do in the year 2013 to improve our lives, improve our health. But I'd encourage you to improve your spiritual life in 2013, to be more God-like, to shun the evil of this world and let your light shine. Use your time wisely. If we use our time wisely, I think that we will have more time for the Lord. So this morning, as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, we can make decisions this morning as we stand up. We don't necessarily have to go down front to make a decision. We can stand in wherever we are this morning and make a decision that we're going to be more God-like. We're going to let our light shine every day of our lives. And we're going to do more for the Lord this year in 2013. So let's stand and Living for Jesus 372.